Ladies and gentlemen, we, people of color, daughters and sons of immigrants, we belong to Europe. I am, we are the story of Europe.
Hello everybody and welcome to this new episode of We Belong, the stories of the new daughters of Europe. We Belong takes you to Germany. For this new episode, we're headed to Berlin to meet a young Afro-German artist. She is a performance artist, she is a freelance dancer and a choreographer. You will find her performing with painting on her skin, a beautiful smile and a strong conviction that motivates her to question the way we construct ourselves in accordance to our roots. Her name is Rebecca Pokua Korang. So hello Rebecca and welcome. Thank you for accepting our interview. What is the word that best describes you and your work and what you stand for?
Yeah, I was thinking of the word quest because it can be quite open, but it also like means something distinct. And this is like the quest from like of where we come from, where I come from as myself, what my identity is, and understanding my own story and my family story and ancestors, and also like finding a place in the world.
Quest, what a philosophical word and what a an interesting way to do an introspection into your story, into yourself. Your last performance is titled Rootless, because sometimes you feel without roots. Is it right?
Yeah, it's like growing up in Berlin, I would say. I mean, I can't speak for Germany because I think Berlin is still quite different to the rest of Germany. But growing up in Berlin, I can show you sometimes, okay, you're not German. Like my first time I experienced myself as a German was when I moved to London. And then people would call me a German. I would be like, oh, wow. Yeah, actually, yeah, that's right. I'm a German and I'm socialized as a German. But in Germany, you get that question, where do you come from, so often? Or like, yeah, where do you really come from? Where do you really, really come from? And so this, like, being a German and black is, like, not really, accepted or tolerated here. People still have, like, an image. So
totally echo what you say, because when I used to live in Italy when I was younger, I was always confronted to people that would question my identity. Up till now, when I go to Italy, people are like, oh, how do you speak Italian so well? And I'm like, maybe because I am. But yeah, I totally understand. And when I moved to France, for example, that's where people started saying, oh, you're the Italian because you have the Italian accent, blah, blah, blah. So then, yeah, you understand that you are one just because you move somewhere else. But this dilemma of, you know, not feeling at home anywhere, it's something that motivates and that describes well your work. So what are your roots?
Yeah, so I was in 2018, I went the first time myself, like alone to Ghana. Before I always went with my dad, and at that time I could experience Ghana like very differently because it wasn't bound on like, okay, we go to my grandmother and stuff. And there I felt like, okay, there is something like home, and my home is Berlin because I grew up here, I know the places. But there's something like home, if that makes sense. And even though I don't know Ghana that well, I have that sense of home a lot when I'm in Ghana, because it's just like, even though you haven't grew up there, you don't know how the system works, but it still gives you a sense of, you know, somehow.
And which influence did your root have in your artistic creations?
A lot, because so basically when I go back now to me being black and German at the same time, like, we didn't call ourselves Germans, but we identified like in minority groups. So there were the Ghanaians, there were the Angolians, there were the Congolese. And because the Ghanaian community in Berlin was quite small, we all knew each other. We had our own events. So this, even though I haven't been so much in Ghana, it was still like a big part of me. And I think then going back to Ghana and realizing, okay, but in Ghana, even though when I mention my full name, they're like, oh, you're Ghanaian, but still they consider me as white. So when I'm going there and I'm like, yeah, I'm Ghanaian, they're like, no, you're not, until I state my name, basically. But yeah, and that, exactly this, like being in between two chairs, yeah, motivated my work. And then also because I'm mixed race, there's a tension also in between the black community. So, you know, I mean, obviously I'm not white, but I'm also not dark skinned, and of course there are like different experiences coming through that.
And I think it's even more difficult when you are from two different backgrounds, and it's the case for me too. I'm Italian and Moroccan. And when I go out with my mother, like, she's white and blonde, like, people don't even think we're together. So we go to groceries and people are like, are you together to pay? And we're like, yeah. But yeah, it's not that evident. But it's also curious to know that, you know, this dilemma that you feel of not feeling at home anywhere, both on your country of origins, but also in the country where you were born and raised, we are also reminded that somehow we're always different and not, you know, fitting into the classical box or the classical image of what it means to be African and what it means to be European. Let's talk about your work. The description of your performance, which talks also about this quest for identity, has a poem that you wrote, right? Can you recite it to us, at least a part of it?
Do you mean the whitewashed performance? The poem I didn't wrote. The poem is by Maya Yin.
Okay.
And it was a Afro-German poet. And she was very, okay, like, politically involved also, like, to create the sense of Afro-German, like this identity of being an Afro-German, or that this could even exist, because we always know about Afro-Americans. And when you say Afro-German, everyone's like, oh. Yeah, but she basically was very influential in the 90s. And I included that poem to avoid like some misunderstandings, because I knew that performance would be very provocative, but to also state a position. So basically she's like, the most important phrases in that poems are, I will still be African even though you want me to be German, and I will still be German even though my blackness disturbs you.
Beautiful. And I think that it describes pretty well the struggle that we go through in the quest of our roots, our identity, our path. Do you want to tell us the story behind that poem and explain what it means to you?
So I came across of that poem when I was in high school, and I was doing a theater piece with a friend about everyday life racism. And I think there it started, like, questioning, okay, like, obviously I'm German, but I'm not considered as a German. And I mean, it's so deep, you know, it starts with you feeling like, oh, I want to be white, I want to be like everyone, I don't want to be different. but you don't really understand why you have that thought, and that's like a consequence of racism. And I think at that time I was in that process. So I was like, yeah, no, wait, I shouldn't feel bad because I'm black. Like, this is something, I'm still German and I'm still okay who I am. It's just like the problem might not be me, but other people who don't accept me for who I am. And yeah, and so basically that's why I chose that. So that performance that you saw on the website was like a work in progress. It was super spontaneous because I saw the space. There was African Food Festival and I was like, oh, I want to do something in here. And then at that time, I just moved back to London, from London to Berlin. And there was like some, yeah, there were some tensions within the black community where it was like all these questions about like being mixed race, like what privileges come with that, and then generally like white privilege and stuff. And for me, it was really new. So I just had that London experience where I was the first time considered German, but also being black. And then coming back to Berlin, where I first realized, oh yeah, actually in Berlin, there are less black people living. And then also, but also seeing all these new people move, new black people moving to Berlin and new communities evolving. And there is some tension. And I just wanted to raise like discussion about, okay, what does it actually mean to be mixed race? Like what, like if someone is looking at you, like what biases do you have? And, but at that time I was asking more questions. I did a second performance, like it was Whitewash 2.0. It was more distinct about my identity as a mixed race. But at that time, I wasn't really sure, so I left it quite open for people to raise their own questions. But the main thing was like me washing the black paint off my skin. And I mean, this is what I'm saying, you know, when I grew up also like wanting to be white and wanting to fit in. But it doesn't matter like what I wash off, I will still be me. Like I can't wash off my skin color. So yeah, this performance is it's
quite hard, but also it's quite strong and important to say that, look, that's who I am, just accept me, right? It's also a call for recognition and legitimacy of who you are.
Yeah, exactly. This is where I came from, but then like there, I knew there will be people like not liking that performance, and I got a shitstorm as well by some of the black community because they were saying I did blackface. And then, but then actually all the things, because I stated on that concert, I was like, I'm aware that this performance might raise a debate on racial issues.
And also I think that there is a difference between using blackface to have fun and to joke, which is very uncomfortable for black people, and then using it to, you know, deliver a message precisely to denounce racism and discriminations. But of course, I can't speak on behalf of the people and the black people because I'm not one. And I imagine that, yeah, maybe they don't feel represented or understood. But yet your message has been important, and I think it's an innovative way to share strong messages through soft power, which is, culture, arts, and performing.
Yeah, I'm very glad you say that. Because, like, for me, I also think, I mean, I can deal with critics, but it got very personal, where I was like, oh, maybe I was very insensitive. But, like, my main point in making art is, like, raising questions, and I'm not so much of like, oh, this, the world is looking like this, 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 and this, but I want to open a space for like discussions, for, because it's not black and white at the end, right? It's like we always have to negotiate and find the gray areas, and we always miss something that has to be acknowledged, and then we have to go into discussion again. And
definitely, in your reference to your work, you also speak a lot about the history of Ghana in your performances. You also continue to go there. You mentioned that you went a few years ago. I think you go there for another project. Maybe you can tell us more about it. And how, during the course of your life, did this, you know, relationship with Ghana evolve?
Yeah, it's interesting because it happened just like recently. I would say like 2 years. Since 2 years, I'm more investing in my Ghanaian story, because before I was so like, okay, I'm Afro-German. What does it mean to be Afro-German? And then at one point I went back to how it was when I was a child, you know, like, okay, you part of a Ghanaian minority. So I went back, and when I experienced Ghana, and mainly Accra, but also where my family's from, I was like, wow, there's so much to discover. There's so much I still don't know, and also about my family. So I went there, like, you know, you go to your family's place, your grandmother is very proud that you're there. So you have to meet everyone of your family. And my family is so big. It's so big. So at one point I was like, oh, this is like energy consuming. So I started to do a documentary to keep, and then ask people, not like on a superficial level, like, how are you? What are you doing? But ask like for the family story. This was the first time I realized, okay, I actually don't know anything, because also I don't know how it is with other immigrant fathers, but my father doesn't really talk a lot about his own story, even like how and why he came to Germany. And through that, I got to know a lot about my father, and then also obviously about myself. And now I found that, yeah, I want to learn more and more. And then I found a connection back again to Germany. I mean, it has nothing to do with my family, but this is also where Rootless is connected, my poem. That Germany, and this is what I never knew, you know, like Germany had some colonies in Ghana, and I never knew that. Like, anyways, in school, you don't learn about colonization and the German responsibilities in that. But yeah, I would have never thought. I was super surprised. And then I was like, okay, let's connect my own story, my own quest for where I'm coming from, and my own feeling sometimes rootless with a historical event. Just like, yeah, to give that more, like to shed light on it and to give it more attention. Also for myself to learn something, because, you know, when you start doing something, you want to investigate and learn something new. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, what's the most funny is that many immigrant sons and daughters in Europe never went to the countries they're originally from. And then there are these people, when you are publicly present on, you know, on the public space or on society, some people be like, go back to your country, we don't want you. But which country? Like, some of us don't even have a country, or don't even know the country they are originally from. And the fact that you went back to understand the history that, by the way, you don't even learn at school. I'm shocked to hear this, because at least in France or in Italy, I can say that we do study this kind of story, even though it's not that of a big part of the history program, but it's something that is done in schools. And I think it's important to, you know, to build on reconciliation of society and of our European history. In your work, roots, your roots are the source of your inspiration today, but we can also say that they caused a lot of suffering in your early years when people were reminding you that you are different or that you have a black color of a skin. So linked to your identity and how you perceive yourself, but also linked to how people perceive you, right?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I mean, there's always this thing. Yeah, there's first a question like, how do I see myself? But when you're young and you're not grounded, you always rely on the feedback you get from outside. And like just recently, I was talking to some friends, like they're also Afro-German but Ghanaian. And we were saying, yeah, like at that time, we were all, I don't know if you know the term Ausländer, but like foreigner. But we were all foreigners. It didn't matter if we had a German passport or not. We called ourselves foreigners because this was what the society called us, just because we didn't look German. So in our view of ourselves, we were foreigners. And now just like, yeah, yeah, becoming a young adult and going through identity crisis and stuff, I started to find my own definition of myself, and also being okay with it and not depending on how other people perceive me. Because other people will always see what they want to see, but I have to know who I am and yeah.
Exactly, reclaiming your narrative. And I think it's super important in every people's life, especially us coming from different backgrounds and living in a society where we're constantly reminded that we don't belong, but actually we have to understand that we do. Today you live in Berlin, in Germany. We can say that you are in the geographic heart of Europe, but also the political heart. Which role the European Union or Europe as a continent play in your identity? You mentioned that you lived also in the UK. Okay, let's forget about Brexit, but it was also thanks to this European mobility. So yeah, what do you think about your identity and your European identity? Do you have one?
Yeah, so as I said before, I always called myself an Afro-Berliner before I called myself an Afro-German in London. I think me being a European or Afropean.
Beautiful.
It became more important in London. Actually, I have to mention Brexit. It became more important when Brexit happened. When I moved to London and I realized that in England, they don't have that sense of being European, because in school and university, they always talked about Europe and the UK. And then I told them, I was like, why do you separate it? Why do you say Europe and the UK? I mean, you either talk about a country, or then I would understand that, but why would you talk about a bunch of countries and then separate to the UK? And then afterwards Brexit happened. And then I realized, because I think it's a privilege, right? Like you're born with that privilege that you have that German passport and you can go and live and work in other European countries. And I think I wasn't aware of that privilege until I realized, okay, it doesn't have to be like that. So
it's mainly an agility and ability to move and to discover new countries. How do you see Europe of tomorrow, and what do you say would be the main gap between Europe and the people? Because you mentioned that you study at school but you don't really know what is this identity.
I see Europe, I really think now people grow into that European identity, and like see the benefits of it. Also, I mean, I'm also part-time working as a social worker, and we do like exchange programs with young people from, I don't know, from France, from, okay, that's not in the European Union, but France and Tunisia have a big link. And it's amazing, you know, there are all these like funding pots that bring people together and also learn from each. I mean, I couldn't say like, oh, I've been to Greece if it wouldn't be in the European, you know, like, it would be such a random place for me to go, but because also like meeting all sorts of people in Berlin or in London from all over Europe, it makes you make links and create opportunities and cross-national opportunities. And I think it should remain like that. I'm just a bit scared that it's like, because, like, you know, the developments, I'm also scared of the elections in Germany, like, after Angela Merkel is going. Like, I feel now in lots of European countries, the governments are turning more, to nationalist views. And it's so sad because actually this makes Europe rich, you know. And when I look at, this is the thing, I go to Ghana and I'm like, it's so expensive to go from Ghana to Mozambique. You know, it would be cheaper to go from Portugal to even from Berlin to Mozambique than it would be from Ghana to Mozambique. And everything is so much more difficult. And even though, like, Africa should be actually one, because this is how, because, like, that countries are due to colonization, basically. But, I would wish that Africa has something like that. And that's why I don't understand why Europeans, or why lots of Europeans are, I don't know, I don't understand who, how you can see the disadvantages of being a union. I don't get it. I mean, if you want to separate yourself, you can separate yourself, but it creates more possibilities for everyone.
Right. And I think that's especially because the people that are against the European Union are often people that are against diversity in general. And that's what I'm afraid of, is that if we imagine a society where the older is unwelcomed, we come back to very dark sides of our history that, you know, marked our European society, and that we promised that we would, not do the same mistakes anymore through this European Union. It was born precisely after these, decades of war. But what role do you think that arts play in the construction of a society, and especially, for example, the European identity in the European society? How can culture foster this union?
So I think art is generally very important for culture, but one problem I see is that there is still like elite in art. So, you know, there's this distinct between high art and popular art. And high art is not really accessible for most people, which I think should be changed. And I think also popular art should get the recognition that it deserves. And if it gets the recognition that it deserves, then it can actually do everything. You know, there are like some countries where hip-hop changed or led to a revolution, you know, like... and I think the Europe, like, if basically if we manage to get that, because, okay, let's take one example, hip-hop. Yeah, it's in every, like, every youth culture is celebrating hip-hop since years, and it brings people together. It brings people. When I was a teenager, I was in that project called L'Europe de Hip Hop. And it brought people from France, from Greece, from Poland, from Germany, from all sorts of countries together. They made a track together. They were dancers, they were graffiti players, they were sprayers, they were DJs, they were rappers. And they create something new. And they, this learning process they have while being together and learning from each other, they take it with them and bring it to their communities where they're from. And if there are more projects like that, I think it would strengthen the sense of a united European identity. Because then, you know, at the end, it's not about you being Italian or this person being German. It's just like about what you do and what you share and what you...
Exactly. And your role in this society. And the fact that if you want to be an artist or an entrepreneur or just, you know, anything that you want to be, you have the right to without, you know, being questioned because of your experience or of your personal. Let's draw a conclusion. I just want to ask you a last question, which is an anecdote. I was very curious because on your website, at the end of your page, there is a photo of a chicken with a rose plume. And it captivated my attention. Can you explain the reason of that picture?
It's funny. Like, the chicken is a chicken, or was a chicken, and it's probably not alive anymore, from my grandmother's garden in Ghana. And wow. I made that picture because when I was there, I found it so interesting that she colors it pink to identify it as her chicken, because there the chicken just run, you know, on the street. They're free, but they will always come back. It's funny. Yeah, it's funny because the page is not updated. I have to update my page, but at that time I wasn't really so involved in my Ghanaian story, but I don't know. I had that picture in my head and I thought it's a funny... Yeah, you just ride a chicken. But now looking back, I mean, now you can draw a link as well. That's yeah.
Well, it's you know, it's a symbolical way to describe your story, and thank you for sharing that. Rebecca, I was super happy to have you. At the end of our episode, we want to leave our audience with a message. So what is the message they want to share to the people that listen to us, especially, you know, from Germany, but from other countries that go through difficulties in being accepted and acknowledged as a citizen? And what's your key? What's your key for them?
I would say my message would be always be open. Always be open to learn new things. Also, be open to change your mind, you know, like identity or culture, anything. It's nothing stable. It's always fluid. And it's always okay to change your mind and collaborate with people, speak with people, go into an exchange. And
continue your quest for identity.
Yeah. Continue your quest, yeah. Continue your quest and don't define it beforehand. You never know. You learn on the way.
Thank you. What a lesson that we take out from this talk. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Thank you for sharing your vision, your story, your work, and your ambitions with the We Belong. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. To conclude, I'm happy to share with you my key for today, which is a book. It's a book that is called The Disoriented, and in French you can find it under the name Les Désorientés. It was written by a French author called Amin Malouf, and it has a double meaning. Disoriented both means lost, but also removed. Removed from the East. It's a quest of his identity by the protagonist of the book, which is Adam, and he is living in France, but he will visit his native country, which is Lebanon, for the first time in 25 years. And so it's really an introspection and journey. And I think it's super relevant to conclude this episode, because we spoke about quests of identity. We spoke about feeling rootless, and we spoke about the importance of finding his roots and understanding where we come from if we want to know where we're going. So I'm very happy to share with you this key. This was the end of our episode. If you like it, please share it. This podcast is produced by La Cavalcade, and don't hesitate to follow us on social media. Bye.